Get it. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Inspire Before We Expire show. I am your host, Rel Sumter. Guys, I'm truly grateful, thankful, and graceful to be here another day. That's never a promise. Yet I got today on the show a very special guest, gentleman I've been just connected with, but I've been following his journey for some time now. Sent him a message. We got to build a rapport. He said yes. All right. And I'm truly grateful and thankful to be able to sit down with him and allow him to share his story. Many of you may know, many of you may not know, but you will know his story today. And guys, this gentleman here, he has became a multimillionaire in network marketing. He has spoken all over the world, at least a dozen of countries. Well, he has spoken in the around the world to at least a dozen countries and 40 states. He has also launched successful teams, brands, and more on an international level for over a decade. He has shown people how to build multi six to seven figure network marketing businesses on a part time basis as well, so you can be able to enjoy your life with loved ones and those you truly care about as well. So guys, I don't want to take too much of your time. He is also, outside of all that, he is a father first, he's a husband, he's a friend, and he's someone I'll be sharing a story with you all today. The guy, the myth, the man himself, Mr. June Acosta. June, welcome to the show, man. Glad to have you, bro.
Thank you, Rel. Thanks for having me. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. I can hear you perfectly.
Awesome. I'm happy to be here with you, man. I appreciate your time and allowing me to come on your platform and speak to your audience and just be a part of your story, man. I've seen some of the last interviews that you did. Specifically, I like the one with Bobby Castro. You know, I'm a big fan of that guy. Heard his story for the first time when I went to a 10X event for Grant Cardone. And yeah, man, you're doing big things, bro. So to be on here is an honor, you know?
My man. No, I thank you for taking the time to be here, June. Let's get right into it, man. You know, so just give us a backstory of you, man. Give us your background, man, where you grew up, you know, where you're from originally, you know, and everything of that nature, man. Let's get a part into your life.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm 37 years old. Holy crap. Like I feel young, but it's like the number feels old, you know, like I still feel the same. Like I still feel like a kid, but I'm 37. I grew up in Brooklyn. I grew up in East New York, Brooklyn. You know, grew up mostly in a single parent household, but it wasn't like I didn't know my dad, right? Like I still talk to my dad. He just, you know, he moved to Philly when I was like 13 and, you know, me and my three siblings. I am the oldest and best looking out of all four of us. I got two little sisters and a little brother. They're all successful, you know, amazing, amazing kids, amazing family. Got an amazing mom. My mother came here from Dominican Republic. My father came from Dominican Republic. They were kids, didn't speak the language and just did the best that they can. You know, my mom raised all four of us from home. I think her number one mission was to keep us alive, you know, because we grew up in a rough neighborhood. And even though we had a lot of love around us, you know, it was a lot of crazy things going on all the time. And, you know, it was, you know, it was a challenge. You know, my father was a cab driver, you know, mostly, you know, so he was out in the street outside every day going, you know, to support a family. And, you know, he had multiple jobs. So he was a hard worker. Guy had, you know, a lot going on. You know, he had a lot of kids to support. And, you know, when you're an immigrant and coming from a third world country and you don't really have, you know, the academics, you know, you rely on your physical, you know, how hard can you work? You know, how many jobs can you pick up? What connections you can make? I think my father was a very, you know, well-networked person too. Like he was able to talk to people. He's kind of popular, I guess, in the hood. A lot of people knew him. And yeah, man. And that was it, you know, so we grew up in Brooklyn. You know, it's funny because my parents are Dominican and my first language is Spanish. But when me and my wife were always talking about like culture, you know, culturally, we grew up hip hop culture. You know, we grew up in Brooklyn. We grew up in hip hop. I wasn't listening to Fernandito Villalona. I was listening to Biggie when I was a kid, you know. So, you know, we grew up in that culture. And, you know, and just like any other kid, man, like you know, we had big dreams and we had a lot of great friends. And, you know, fast forward, We grew up. We went to school, got I actually was really good in school. I did well in school. Going into school was a little rocky because I spoke Spanish. I didn't speak English, which I think is hard for a lot of people to believe today, right? That I didn't speak English, but my mom like really forced the school to put me in an English speaking class because she didn't want me in bilingual. She knew that speaking English was going to be very important, and Spanish, I would speak it at home. So, that was that. So, started school. I would get grades, man. Like my only problem with school was that I got bored with it. I think that a lot of, people that I think a lot of smart kids, that pick up things quick, get bored with school, and that's where you get in trouble. Every book out there says that an idle mind is a devil's playground, and I think that's what happens when you're bored. I was a good kid for the most part. I didn't really, do anything crazy. I would get into fights, like that was really it. But it's like I think that's what happens when you're the oldest of four. I didn't really have older cousins and things around me. I had a lot of older friends. And I was it, man. I was, good kid. I did what I needed to do, and I always was a hard worker. Always been a hard worker. I went through my like, if I think about my school journey, it was like, elementary school was normal. As a junior high school, then high school, and with the high school, I was actually in a position where my sophomore year in high school, people don't know this, right? So my sophomore year in high school, I passed all my state exams, so I could have like technically graduated 2 years into high school. I had passed all my state exams, passed everything with like high 80s, 90s, hundreds, and I was a jerk because I didn't want to go to any electives. All right, so like I had to do an extra year of high school because I wouldn't go to gym, I wouldn't go to art, I wouldn't go to marine biology, I wouldn't go to poetry. But math, science, history, I loved math, I loved history, I loved English, I love reading. Like those were things that always like stood out to me. My mom was like always into big like math, and stuff like that. So I was always good with math. And yeah, man, then I graduated and that was it. Started working when I was 15 years old. My first job was in retail stores, a store called Sports Lane. It was out in Queens. So first time I was in Queens, I was like, man, like they have holiday music out here, I met a lot of good people out there too. And I just started getting exposed to different folks. And that was my first experience. I was making $5.15 an hour. I would work, as much as I can because I would work 2 weeks to buy one pair of Jordans or a pair of Foamposites or a pair of Penny Hardaways, get me a throwback jersey, and that was it. I went from retail to working in a school for a little while. That was nice. I work with kids. I love kids. I had three my own. From the school, I started working in a restaurant. I had some friends that hooked me up with a job in ESPN Zone in Manhattan. And I had incredible memories there too, with a lot of like crazy people that I still, kind of keep in touch with now. And then from there, I got into the hotels. My wife was a big catalyst. I met my wife when I was 15 years old. A lot of people don't know that either. Like we've been together for a long time. We're high school sweethearts. And
Take
she
us into
had
that. Take us into that. How did y'all connect, and how did y'all meet, and what was the conversation like?
Yeah, I mean, I can give you the love story, I can give you the drama story. Which one do you want?
I'm gonna let you share.
Yeah, so we she's she was she was actually 2 grades older than me. She hates to say that because it's kind of funny, but I was mature, for my age. Again, all my friends were older than me growing up, and we just kind of, she tells a funny story because it kind of is true. I asked a friend about her, and she long story short, I got her contact, and we connected through AOL. I sent her a text message. I don't know how old you are, but it was like ASL, right? And then we spoke from there, and we had seen each other around at school a few times. I know that I liked her, and I was intrigued by her. And fast forward, man, we just we went on that first date, went to the movies or something like that. Her mom told me, whatever you do, make sure you take care of my daughter, and I've tried to keep that promise till today. And I have, and that was it, man. Like I think some of the drama growing up was really just because I was like the young kid, the young bull, right? And and people would try to pick on me, and I wasn't, I wasn't the kind of person to be picked on, and my girl, she was popular too, and she was like kind of like we were kind of like the people I like to look at it that way, right? Like we were kind of like the people that like I was like I would get attention from girls and she would get attention from guys, and then we got together and it was like, why are you with him? And later on we got successful and I was like, go ask your friend why are you with him still,
Change the narrative real quick.
Yeah, when we had our first kid, I was 21. She sent me a text message one morning. I was on my way to the hotel job. It's like 9 o'clock in the morning. She texts me. She goes, "Babe, I'm late." And I was like, "For work, right?" And she was like, "No, I'm late." And fast forward now, like our oldest is 15, my son is 10, and then my youngest is 6. So, it's an incredible ride, man. I recommend everybody, man, marry your high school sweetheart. You guys can build a life together and. You go from pedal bikes to Lamborghinis,
That is beautiful, bro. I wanted to really, really say something. I think that's beautiful because, like you said, you all meant, when y'all were very, very young, and to this day, y'all still standing strong. But it went from being friends to now lifetime partners. And I think along the journey that, we do meet that one, right?
Yeah.
Because we have our time of experimenting and different stuff like that. Or so, just like with friends in general, people you meet, when you were young. Yes, you still know them, but those are people you may separate it from, where you meet new friends along that journey as well.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
I might have communicated. We didn't really start as friends. We kind of just went boyfriend girlfriend.
Oh, okay,
We would see each other around. I
real
was pretty much it was kind of like see each other around, like maybe walk past each other in the hallway in school or something like that. But yeah, that was that. But I agree with you 100%. You do gotta have some sort of base friendship. We hear things that people say. Opposites attract. But I think that likeness, lasts. I think that,
Yeah.
opposites will come together at some point. It's interesting, but if you don't got nothing in common, how do you expect to really, go through it? You know what I mean? So I think that having common ground is more important than being opposites and finding that after.
No, I love that, man. It seems like as you was growing up, man, you had the support system as far as your father being hardworking and your mother as well, just also adjusting out here and just wanting the best for you. Like you say, man, you passed all your state exams and stuff like that. That means you
Yeah.
did a lot of studying. And I know outside of the neighborhoods, it may have been some distractions. So what is something that your father instilled in you, man, that still that you keep into you in today, and also something that your mother as well have instilled into you that you just
Yeah.
still, have into that allowed you to kind of stand and be firm who you are today, man?
Yeah, well, this is going to sound a little weird, and I hate to say this, but I have to
Take
be
your time.
honest, right? I got to be truthful,
Absolutely.
right? I didn't really study. I wasn't a studying person. I think I just have a very good photographic memory, and I was able to just kind of capture information and get it right out. My daughter is very similar to me in that sense too, which is exciting to me because she kind of, I kind of live vicariously through her. I look at my daughter and I'm like, man, like you're so smart and you catch things quick. And I was the same way. I didn't really have to spend a lot of time in books to pass the test. Which is the opposite for a lot of people, and I'm not like a genius by any means at all, but I do learn things quick and I apply them right away, which is the most important part. As far as my dad, like again, like we kind of went separate. When I was 13 and he kind of moved away, I was I we didn't really talk too much, during that time. He had, and I don't blame him for anything. I think that he needed to figure out life. Like what do? You move to a new country and you're trying to like support four kids. You got a wife, a baby mama. You got all these things going on. So I would say if there's one thing I learned from him was that, he worked really hard. Like the guy used to get up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and go to one job. Then pick up a car that he used to rent back in the day instead of Uber. He used to pay to rent the Lincoln Town Car, and you would rent it for the week. And so if you didn't make a certain amount of money, pay for your rental that you were paying for, you wouldn't be able to. Make any profit, right? So he would work at this factory at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, come home, like literally eat something real quick, and then just jump in a car and be out in the street all day until like midnight, 11 o'clock, and come back home, have a beer, go to sleep, go wake up, do it again the next day. And that was the story. He was a great cook. You know, my father was like always like he used to always say my father. My mom used to get mad because my father used to cook better than me. That was his thing. And for my mother, I think that you know what I learned the most from her is having courage. You know, my mom is not like the most courageous person, and I think that that kind of made me the opposite of that. She's always very careful, very worrisome, very treads lightly, and I think that that's you know given me some foresight in some ways, but it's also sort of made me say, you know, made me take a lot of leaps of faith, you know, in directions that most people would be afraid of, you know. So those would be the two main things as far as support, you know, like I've always had a lot of love, you know, from a but like financially and things like that, like I've always kind of had you know, I haven't had any like safety nets, you know, I've always like, you know, had to figure it out, you know. And I think that's an important quality to have, man, like to be able to really just figure it out. And you know, people hate to say self-made, and because it sounds arrogant, you know. And I don't think I'm self-made, but man, there were some decisions that I've had to make, you know, over the years that nobody else would be able to make them for me, you know. So I think God plays a big role in everything. But man, like, you know, how can you not say self-made or deny it if, you know, nobody was in the room with you when you made a decision? You know, nobody was in, you know, that meeting with you when you're making the calls or driving to the event or doing this. Like, you're the one, it's you and you, you know. I was watching something with Dr. Man, I forget his name. I was watching a podcast the other day. It was an interview he did, and he said something that really, you know, it changed me. There's some things that you can hear sometimes that change you, right? And he says that like human beings, right? Think about this, right? He says human beings are a combination of the divine and animal, right?
Come on, Joe Dispenza, Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Yes, Joe Dispenza. Yeah, that's what he that he's the one. I love him. I read his book, Becoming Supernatural, some time ago too. So when he says that, when he said that, it really struck me. I'm like, wow, like it's true, right? We're meat and bones and a brain and a belly, right? I think Napoleon Hill's the one that says that the only thing that's different between a man and a pig is his mind, right? And the mind comes from where? You know, from the divine, right? Because our mind is not the brain. You can't, you know, nobody's ever seen the mind, right? You've seen the brain. And so when he said that, like it really makes me think about our decision-making process and, you know, and willpower and controlling our urges and controlling our fears and anxieties and things like that. You know, so now I think my new thing is like whenever I feel a feeling that I'm unsure of, I think to myself, control the animal because that's the animal, you know, portion of you, not the divine part of you.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I appreciate you sharing that, man. I listen to a lot of Joe Dispenza as well. But so cool. So as we fast forward, man, you say from school, move forward. You're still with your high school sweetheart, still connected to your family, still in New York at the time, but you also say you moved on to the hospitality hotel, become a hotel manager and stuff like that. So cool, man. During that process, what was next? Like as you went to being a hotel manager working in this environment, but there was a decision, like you mentioned, decision along the journey that you had to make. And why did you feel though you had to make that decision during that time? So take us into that, June.
Yeah, so when I was in the hotels, I loved it. I enjoyed it a lot. The problem with that was that I was working too many hours, and you know, I wanted to start spending time at home with my daughter. I think that a lot of people, you know, I'm a dad. Like I'm like a father. Like I enjoy being with my kids, and I couldn't, you know, see myself working at the pace that I was working at. You know, and not spending time with her. I didn't, you know, it wasn't like I wanted to be on the block. It wasn't like I wanted to, you know, be out in the nightclubs. Like I wanted to be able to actually raise this kid and be present. And so, you know, I was working two, three jobs at the time. I was like managing two hotels and I did a paper route and I was just doing as much as I can possibly do. And, you know, one day, some high school friends came over and they showed us like some video and they were like, man, like this is some home-based business thing you can do. And man, we can make money doing this. And I looked at it and I'm like, man, that's bullshit. You know, like I'm like, I've never seen that before. I'm not really interested in that. You know, my wife, who's a little bit more of a risk taker than I am, she was like, what's the worst that'll happen? It's $300. Let's do it, this and that. And We decided to do it. And what ended up happening, fast forward, was that it completely changed our entire lives. We went through a lot of challenges, because I think every entrepreneur goes through this, right? And I'm sure you felt this too, Rel, in podcasting, right? It's like you start something, you're excited about it, you start putting things into perspective, and then it's like, where's the support? You know what I mean? Like, where's the friends and the family and the people who say that they got your back no matter what? Like, with that business opportunity, we're talking about $300. Like, my friends spend that on shoes, on socks, on sneakers, and so I faced, something that I hadn't faced maybe ever in my life, which was rejection, to that extent, right? Like that rejection, to that extent. And it bothered me. It bothered me a lot. And the reason why it bothered me a lot in the beginning was because I was really looking to add value to people. I wasn't looking to take anything from anyone. I wanted to help somebody. I wanted to help people, make money and get out of the hood and, buy a house and get a car and do these things that we've always dreamed of, but we just didn't have the vehicles to do it. And I really believed in it. And so, I took a lot of things personally in the beginning of my journey. And, I don't regret taking things personally, but I do think that if I started over, I would do it a little bit differently. I would come with more of an understanding, knowing that it's not about lack of support. Sometimes it's just not somebody's route. It's not their path, and I didn't understand that. I was like, man, what are we talking about here? At the time it was travel. So I'm like, bro, like worst case, we go to Hawaii, like best case, we go to Hawaii with $1 million in the bank, But that whole era changed my life, man. It changed me because I learned how to, actually build a business that didn't rely on friends and family. I learned how to build a business that, stretched beyond my own personal reach. Build a business that went beyond my culture, went beyond my language, went beyond my religious beliefs. Like it just grew exponentially to over 100,000 customers around the world, and I was able to, just make an impact in ways that I never even could have imagined, just by being myself and honestly just getting pissed off at some point and just going after it,
What do
so
you feel like in the midst of that time, as you say, you're getting into this new business, you're now going from working to now being an entrepreneur. So you're working for self, but you still have a team around you, right? So what do you feel as though, man, I forgot the thing. I was by the things happen sometimes, but got the question. But what do you feel is that as you was building your business and everything along the journey, was kind of that breaking point for you, and led to your breakthrough?
Yeah, so I think that a lot of entrepreneurs, they quit their jobs too soon. I didn't experience that because, I was in the space where I needed to provide for a child, right? I was paying rent, I had a car note, I had a kid, So for me, before I went full time, I had like a year's worth of income put away. I had tripled my income before I left my job, so I was already making a significant amount of money beyond what I was used to making already. Matter of fact, before I left my job, I actually told my wife, I was like, "Hey, I'll retire you first." And she, she declined me. She was like, "I'm gonna retire myself," and she ended up doing it like 2 months later. But that was really the transition there. It was like, okay. When I finally quit my job and I put my 2 weeks notice, and I actually gave him a month notice because my boss at the time, his name was Philip Chan. I love that guy. Like he threw me a, when I had my first daughter, he like guy threw me a baby shower at work. I'm like,
That's genuine.
yeah, a good guy. He always gave me a lot of great advice too in regards to like marriage. We would go to all these events, like watch events. That's where I got exposed to a whole new world. I would go to Breitling events, go to Louis Vuitton events as hoteliers. We would get invited to all the like new restaurants and all the new vendors because they want us to refer people to those places, so we would get referred, to go visit them so we can recommend them. But yeah, as far as like the transition, from work to full-time entrepreneur, it wasn't so crazy. I had a conversation with a mentor of mine at the time. His name is Matt Morris. We're still friends to this day. I still learn from him. But Matt told me, he said, I remember I called him. I said, "Bro, I'm about to quit my job." And he's like, "How much money are you making?" And I said, I'm making, XYZ amount of money per month. And he's like, okay, how much money are you making at work? And I said, I'm making this much money at work. And he says something to me that I never heard and never even thought about. He says, well, it sounds like you're losing money by going to work. And I never thought about that. I'm like, oh, snap. He's like, yeah, if you're making this much money in your business and you're making this much money at work, and you're making so much more money through your business than you're doing at work, well, then every day you go to work, you're losing money because the time that you're spending there, you could have been spending it, expanding your business, And that was a decision to me. I was like, all right, cool. I'm gonna quit now. And when I go full time, I'm gonna work harder, on my business than I was working at my job, because my job never had the potential that my business, had. And so I really just like sunk myself into a loop, bro. Like I put myself into a position where I made every hour count of every day. And I'm at a point, at some, I'm at a point very early in my career where, I'm 20 something years old. I'm making way more money per month than how many years I've been alive, and I didn't move my residual bills. My rent stood the same. My car note stood the same. My spending habits were the same, but my work ethic, like I was working 10 times harder than I was working before. I was making a ridiculous amount more, and there really was no end in sight. Like I was so focused on like this $1 million mark and then passing that $1 million mark and helping as many people as I can and really making a movement throughout the city and doing something that's never been done before. I was in it. And it's nothing anybody can tell me. People were talking about we were building the biggest team ever. I'm like, team, man, I felt like we were building the biggest gang in New York that spread out to different places. And I say gang because it was like that was the type of loyalty that we had to the movement, to what we were creating. It was something that was for us and for our families and for our families' families. And we really, really believed in that. Going through those seasons, anybody said anything bad about us or anything bad about our friends or business partners, man, that person would have to like watch themselves, and we did some beautiful things, man. We experienced some extremely, high highs. We saw all kind of people retiring because of that movement, people that were police officers, people that were accountants, people that were, in the medical field, people that were, unemployed that all of a sudden were making six figures, multiple six figures. And we created a lot of strong bonds throughout that time. There were definitely challenges, as well. And we but the highs and the pluses were so much better than any of the negatives. And and I would share that with anybody, man. Like I told you earlier, right? Every new level has a new devil. It's true, but man, do you want that level, right? Do you want that level or do you not? Right? Like I'm willing to go through the devil if it's that new level, The devil gonna be afraid of me. When I'm ready for that new level,
No, indeed, true story. What do you feel as though, as well, like you say, there were some challenges. What do you feel? It's going to be a two-part question. What do you feel was one of the biggest pitfalls you may faced along that journey with building your business, keeping your team sustained, training them, but going through maybe some outside life challenges and business challenges as well? But also, why do you feel in today's society, even during that time, like you say, using your early 20s, there it is important to be a service to others in a world full of people that think about me rather than we?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, as far as challenges first, right? I think everything has a challenge. I think the real perspective there is, are you willing? Is the prize worth the challenge, right? Like, is the other end of that period where you're going to suffer a little bit worth the suffering, And for me, it was, and when I think about like if I could have changed anything during that time, I'll say now, like maybe I'd have been a little bit more sensitive to people's, experiences or maybe a little bit more receptive or a little bit more understanding to things. But, maybe I wouldn't have done what I did, maybe I wouldn't have produced at the level that I did because I was so adamant about actually creating some big results. I'm all for the people who have like this sensitive delivery when they're communicating, and I get it, but I am so dialed into if you do the work, you'll get the results, and that's that, And I wish sometimes that I was a better communicator, on the other sense, and being a little bit more heartful, in that sense. But I'm just not wired like that, man. Like I'm not like I'm very like, I don't like vulnerability. I don't like all the sensitivity. I'm not for these the tissue box and all that stuff. Like it's just not in me. I'm just not like that. Maybe my mom dropped me when I was a kid and something cracked, but it's just not the way that I am. I go through things, right? We all go through things, and I think that the best way to describe the type of person that I am in that sense is that I'm very stoic, right? I didn't even know that that was something, until I started reading, Marcus Aurelius' Meditations, and then I started getting into some of the other, stoic beliefs. And really what it just comes down to is it's not being unemotional, it's being aware of your emotion and focusing on what you're actually trying to do,
I love that.
Well, the second question was.
No worries. Like in today's society, we know that, like why is it truly, truly important, and why does it, you
Certainly.
make it a priority to be a service to others in today's society, but just also back during that time when you were in your prime, building your business and stuff like that, being a service to others. Why do you feel in a world full of people that think about me, rather than we, that is important to be a service to others, no matter what they look like?
I think being of service to others is where legacy comes, and being of service is the hardest job in the world, it's the hardest job in the world because you will always feel underappreciated, you'll always feel undervalued, you'll always feel like, not always, but you'll have moments where you'll feel like you're wasting your time or like the people that you're serving don't care as much about the cause as you do. I heard a cool audio the other day that said that Jesus Christ was like, a great gangster, right? And I thought it was interesting, right? Because he says the reason why he called Jesus a gangster was because number one, he served the people, right? Number two, he went from poor to a king, which is rare. Number three, he had his group of loyal followers and disciples, and I thought about that. I'm like, yeah, like here's a guy that's washing other people's feet, and and he's in turn, valued highly for that. So I don't know what word to use. I don't want to say worshipped, right? But like he's who he is because of the people that he served and the value that he brought. Not saying that we're all gonna be out there and be Jesus, but be more like Jesus, right? Like be like that, right? And see where you can help and where you can be of value to. So that's how I see it. Like I think also like going back to school, I was never a bully in school. I didn't like bullying. And I think for me, like I was sort of the guy that would like, hang out with the person that was being bullied or bullied, right? And I feel like that with business, and I feel like that with building teams, and I feel like that with, organizations. People are going to go through emotional situations where they're going to be bullied by the business, they're going to be bullied by life, they're going to be bullied by different challenges. And I like to be there to help people feel stronger and more capable, and like, hey, listen, if I can do this, you can do this too. Let's not, we don't got to cry about it, let's just go out there and do it. And yeah, so I think that every great person in history has served, and I think that's where, the difference maker, is actually going out there into the world and just finding where you can add value, man. And to be completely transparent, man, I've gone through challenges. My biggest challenge has been that it's been, feeling like you've poured your heart out to somebody or to some people, and then, they do something crazy, and then you wonder to yourself, okay, do I do that again? And I think at that point you ask yourself, like, okay, well, if you're questioning, are you going to do it again? Then who are you actually doing it for, right? Because if I'm only serving them for my purpose, well, am I really serving them? So it's a whole journey of like self-discovery. We're going to learn a lot about ourselves and learn about other people. But I think that's the key to everything, man. It's just being of value, being of service. People are going to tell stories about you, and hopefully they last longer than your great great grandchildren or something, right? So
No, I love that. I wanted to touch on something too as well. No, I love it, man. And thank you for sharing that too. One of my favorite quotes is the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. And that's from the great late Nelson Mandela, you know, or so. But like you mentioned, man, there's so many people just thinking for I, even when you are building, you know, teams and companies and different things of that nature. But when you start to, you know, realize and understand that it's bigger than self, it goes a long way, you know. So I thank you, you know, for sharing that, man. And I wanted to take some time, June, to just show you some gratitude along this show, and along this journey, man. You know, just to hear your story today, man. We talked about this, and now, you know, here we are. But just for being yourself, even when you were little, man. And I'm sure that was distractions, but you stayed in school, you stayed educated, and it seemed like, you know, you was able to, you know, really make out good during that time, man. Because, you know, people that come from these inner cities of New York, Jersey, Philly, all throughout that tri-state area can get lost in the sauce. And someone like yourself, I know that you've been through some things that you may not share, you know, right? But at the same time, it didn't stop you from being who you are, you know, and to what you have accomplished. But then going through some pitfalls, going through some obstacles, turning those obstacles to opportunities to be able to share and be more transparent and vulnerable. As I know you say you don't like being vulnerable, but you are, because there's strength and vulnerability as well. But you still, you know, maintaining who you are, right? And maintaining self and things like that, man. So I wanted you to take us into, man, just what you could say when during a time of just in network marketing or life, just how do we maintain our identity, man, during times of crisis, during times of uncertainty, and also just being protected of those we let into our lives, right? You know, or so of that nature. So you could touch on that to the best way you could, man. That'd be awesome.
And I also want to, show some gratitude too, bro, because, you are doing something amazing here. And, I can't wait to watch the replay of this in 10 years and be like, look how handsome we were, authenticity to me, it's I think at every point, all of us are a little afraid of being judged, right? I think all of us have, maybe at some point or another, the desire to be liked or loved or accepted. And I think that as I've gotten older and as I've gone through experiences, I've realized that, we all come from the same source. We all have the same potential. We all have the same fears, the same insecurities. And, for the most part, we have the same desires. We want to live, long, healthy, happy lives. And so, my approach in this type of business, and I think in life in general, has sort of been, correlated with like the music industry, I would say, right? Like, I love music. I listen to music, it's motivating. Right, like you put on the right song, and man, you'll get out there into the world and run through walls, right? Like that Meek Mill, hold up, wait a minute, y'all thought I was finished, right? music is important. So like I've always seen, my approach or my business partners or, whatever realm we decide to participate in as our genre, and there's gonna be, both a combination of customers, other leaders, other opportunities that will be attracted to that genre. They're going to be attracted to the beat of your drums. They're going to be attracted to, the melody of your song, right? And I think that a lot of the times, the mistake that we make, and I've made it in the past, is where we try to, we try to participate in a song that is not, on the same beat as ours. And you start to feel a little bit lost and a little bit, what's the word? You start to kind of just feel out of whack. And what I realize is that, like, if I like hip hop, right? Or if I like, Spanish music, right? Gonzi is like my favorite. This is a new artist. My friend is actually a record label owner, and there's this album by this kid named Gonzi that's in Spanish, and I've been listening to it on replay over and over and over again. I think I'm like, full blast, Latino mode now, right? But I think that we love people who are themselves, and I think that's the juice, right? I think that when we position ourselves in a place where we're trying to impress others, they feel that, they read that. I think the universe feels that when you're kind of like outside of your wheelhouse, And so I just try to stay in my space, man. And I know that at the end of the day, in whatever business, partnerships or agreements, it really just comes down to like actually doing the work. And you're not going to do the work or get the results if you don't love it and if you're not enjoying the process. So yeah, I might put on my Gonzi album and go out to the world and kill it, And that doesn't matter, what anybody else is feeling, because I'm going to be me. And I think that the more that we be ourselves, we give other people permission to be themselves, and they love you for that. I think people love you for, I think that's why people love, a lot of, artists out there in the world, is because they're themselves and they're unapologetically that, That's why, like, I think, again, like I met an older lady like years ago. She said something to me that I'll never forget. This old lady, right? She said to me that she goes, "How old are you?" And I was like, I'm 35. And she goes, "You're a baby." And I'm like, "I'm a baby." And she's like, "I'm 37 now." She's like, "Yeah, I'm like 35 or something like that." So this is a couple years ago. And I'm like, "What do you mean I'm a baby?" She goes, "You're a baby." She goes, "Listen, here's something that I want you to remember, right?" She goes, "When you're in your 20s, you're just having fun. You have no idea who you are. When you're in your 30s, you know an idea of who you are. When you're in your 40s and 50s, you don't care what anybody thinks about who you are." And I love that, because you do understand that as you get older, it's like, yeah, man, this is who I am. This is, I got some friends that say, June is an OG, right? And I got some friends that say, June is a phenomenal leader, and then I got some friends that say, oh, he's an incredible dad. And it's just, you're gonna be who you are to other people, and I think that as long as you're yourself and you're trying to do good and you're serving people as best as you can, that things always work out. But don't force it. I'll say that too. Don't force it, because I got brothers and sisters, and I got people that I really care about and love, and I'm always trying to like forcefully serve them, and that can be, super frustrating too. So, just serve where your service is welcome.
Yeah, no, I love that, man. That was beautiful. That was beautiful, man. To serve where your service is welcome. It's everything you just shared, even with that conversation, because it's always that one conversation that changed the communication. June, I wanted you to take some time, man, to just share on this platform what you've never shared at a training, at a conference, at an interview, something that you would like to share with the people, right? And yeah, if you can do that, that'd be awesome, man.
And in reference to, because I'm not sure, there's a lot.
It could be life, it could be business, it could be health, it could be finance, you name it, man. Just something that you feel is on your heart as the flow go, you just want to be able to share that and transparent, because we have a lot of, like I say, we have teenagers listening from not just the States, but also places you traveled, third world countries and overseas as well, that are tuned in. And just something that you feel as though they need to hear, that they need to receive, not just listen, but implement into their own lives as well, to help them keep pushing forward during these trying times.
And I'm happy that you ended that like that during these trying times, because they are, I'm talking to people every day, and then I keep hearing, I can't find a job, I'm unemployed, I'm about to lose my house, I got, health issues, this is happening, that's happening. And I'm gonna go into this, and something will come up through the story, right? But I believe that you can be successful at anything that you want to be successful at. And so here's the thing, right? You can be successful at anything you want to be successful at. The problem is we don't know what we want to be successful at, right? And I heard a mentor a long time ago say that if you're going through hell, why stop, right? That's an easy thing to say when you know exactly what your target is, right? But for the grand majority of people out in the world today, there's so much information. There's so many gurus. There's so many opportunities. There's so many scams. There's so many coins. There's so many things that people aren't going through hell. I think people are living in it because there's no destination. You're just sitting in it and you don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. You don't know who's going to help you. You don't know where the answers are. You don't know. And I think that's the scariest place to be at. And I've been there a lot of time. I've been there where it's like, shit, how do I get out of this? How do I get to that next space? And you just feel completely like obliterated, not because of the challenge, but because of because of feeling lost, because of feeling like you don't know, you just don't know the direction. It's easy to go through hell. Like, man, if you know exactly where you're going and you know you got to go through hell to get there, man, the devil better get out the way, But if you don't know where you're going and things aren't going your way, you're living in hell. And that's a whole different reality. It's a whole different world. And so, I think that in the times that we're in today, the most important thing is to know yourself, man. I think that we got to spend a lot of time, sitting there like doing inside work, doing internal work, because with this handheld internet that we have, this world that's in our palm all day, every day, and we're being flush with information and being flush with advertisement and being flush with propaganda and being flush with all these like fears, disease, war, government, politics, like you got all this stuff going on and you're sitting in it without any motion and all you're doing is just like withering away, man. You're gonna look up and like the year passed, and I heard this song recently, right? It's by Russ. I don't know if you guys heard the Russ album. That whole album is about like, mental health and mental health in these times. And he did an interview recently with Jay Shetty where he talked about how he was going through, depression and anxiety and all these different things. And there's a song, it's called An Adventure, right? And he says, you're not lost, you're on an adventure. And that's such a great way to look at it. And the album was actually, he said it was inspired by the book, The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. That's why he named it Santiago. I've always felt like I was Santiago. Santiago was like, the main character in the book where he's like this young kid that he's just like figuring out life and he's going from one adventure to the next adventure to the next adventure in the search of like this like gold and this treasure. And he ends up finding out, and I don't want to ruin the book, but like whatever for whoever's it could be better to go through it and read it anyway than me explaining it, right? But he ultimately discovers that the thing that he'd been looking for his whole life was right back at home where he started. So, yeah. So this guy, near-death experiences, love of his life, all these different things. Everything that he was looking for was right back home, including that treasure. So, I think that in today's time, it's about looking inside, man, and just figuring out who you are, where you are, what you want to do, where you want to go. I am not a perfect person. I don't aim to be a perfect person, but I do aim to do my freaking best, every freaking day. And I think a lot of that, that we can also take is from like Dr. Joe Dispenza. He says that 99% of the thoughts that we have every day are the same thoughts that we had the day before. And so we end up repeating these loops and we tell ourselves, right? The animal, right? The animal says, it's okay, we'll do it tomorrow, right? But the mind needs to be stronger than the body. Right. If the mind is stronger than the body, it's not going to wait till tomorrow. It's going to do it now. It's not going to do it when you feel comfortable, when you think the time is right, and when you're not afraid anymore, or when no, the mind is what's going to push you into the direction that you want to go in. Because a lot of this that we got going on around ourselves right now is an illusion, right? If you feel like secure, it's an illusion. If you feel insecure, it's an illusion. If you feel that
Yeah.
it's all an illusion, it's all perspective. It's the world that you're living in. I've always used to say this to people. I still always say, it's not the world. The world is not a great place. The world is not a terrible place. The world is, it's not the world. It's your world. Okay. You can be, at the most, you can be in the most exciting place in your life. Everything can be amazing. Things are perfect. And then you go somewhere else, and that person might be going through the worst time in their lives. And it's not the world, it's your world. And I do believe that we attract things to ourselves. I do believe that we do, have the power to shift, our mindset, and that ultimately is what creates our reality. So I try to live in an abundant reality. And it's harder, than it sounds, because it takes, repetition and being aware of your unconscious thoughts. But that's what it comes down to, man. I had a conversation with an old business partner the other day. He's a seven-figure earner, and we were talking, and he's like, "Bro, like, how did you do this and how did you do that?" And I'm like, it came down to how much I believed in what I was doing. Like, if I didn't believe what I was doing as strongly as I did and do, then nothing happens. It's like it's a waste of space. Another thing that I've always loved is the word emotion, right? Everything is charged by emotions, right? And emotion, the best way that I heard people break down the word emotion is E is energy. Emotion is energy in motion. And I believe that. I think that whatever we put out into the world comes back. You got to be a little fearful of that too, because like you can attract, negative things into your life, and it isn't until you look back and you're like, damn, this is what I was thinking about. The fears that I had, they actually came true. There's a book, As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. It's one of my favorite books in the whole world. I always go back to it when I need to like align myself. And he says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Meaning, the thoughts that you have within you are the ones that are going to come to fruition. But he also says in the book, you have to be conscious of your biggest ambitions, and you also have to be conscious of your biggest fears, because both will come true. So I try to be scared of being in the same place for the same, twice the same year. I try to be afraid of things that are going to push me forward. I try to be afraid of, not being a great dad, right? I try to be afraid of, not being the best version of myself. I try to be afraid of things that are gonna, have a positive impact on my life, because if I'm afraid of being sick, those are the people that are sick all the time. You ever notice that? Right? Like, you talk about, oh, I don't want to get sick. They're sick all the time, right? Man, I hope I don't lose my job. And then they lose their job, right? Oh man, I hope I'm not late to work. And then they're late to work, right? Like, so you gotta be aware of that stuff. And I know for a lot of people, they're gonna be like, man, that sounds crazy. It sounds like, it sounds like whatever it sounds like, but how do you think all of this comes together? How do you think all of this works? It's not all physical,
No, indeed. No, you're right about that, man. That was powerful, bro. Even the books you shared as well is also just some books that have changed one's life, or so. There was something I was looking at one of your trainings the other day. I think it was about 20,000 plus people attendance, and you shared a quote, man. You said, "If you forget where you're coming from, you're on your way back." So if you can just go into that, man, just to share a little bit about that. As far as when you meant by that during that time and now.
I think it's about gratitude, being grateful for where you are, and how far you've come. I'm guilty of not, giving myself enough credit and really not celebrating things. Like, I remember, I'll go by, I've done this a few times now, and I'm not irresponsible, right? But I'll go buy like an expensive car, and for a lot of people, it's like a dream car, and it's nice for a day, and I'll put it in the garage. It's kind of like, hey, whatever, I remember when I hit like, my first $1 million, and when that happened, I didn't really feel different. Like, I kind of just, it was like, I think I celebrated for one day. You know, I probably went to the movies or something, because I had that first seven-figure year. And then after that, I just went back to work, and my focus shifted from me to helping somebody else get that seven-figure year. And I don't think I ever gave myself permission, you know, to really absorb that, you know, and to really feel it, you know. I think that social media is a funny thing too, because somebody on social media might look at it and be like, oh, well, he's cocky, or he's this, or he's that. I'm really far from that. Like, I do believe in myself, you know, but I don't believe that I'm better than anybody else. I do believe that I'll, you know, outwork you. You know, I think that for sure, you know, but I don't think I'm a better human being than anybody. I might think I'm better looking, right? For sure. All right, my mom, I got my looks from my mom. But I'm just, you know, I think that's where it came from. You know, like, once you forget where you're coming from, you're on your way back. Meaning, you know, once you forget how far you've come, you know, meaning you don't appreciate every step, every hand you shook along the way, every person that you came into contact with, whether it's negative or positive. I've had some crazy stuff, man. I had a kid, you know, like I literally DM'd me, right? Like, one DM is, oh my God, June. I'm like, you know, I'm like, I think he said he's like $8,000 away from hitting his first six-figure year. He's like, man, I couldn't have done it without you. I appreciate you so much. You're freaking amazing, dude. I love you. Blah, blah, blah. And then, like, a few months later, the next message is like, you didn't help anybody, you suck, you this. And I'm like, bro, what? Like, it's like, you know, whatever, you know, but you got to appreciate it, because you learn from it. You know, you learn not to let the highs get to your head, and don't let the lows get to your heart, you know. And it keeps you pretty level. So I end up becoming like this very, like, you know, again, stoic person. Somebody can come to me and say, June, you're the best, you know, thing since sliced bread. And it means absolutely, like, I appreciate it, but it's not going to shift me in any direction, you know. The only thing that shifts me in whatever direction is my kid, man. When my daughter comes to me and she's like, you know, my daughter's new thing, and she calls me Rip Off Mr. Clean, right? She goes, you're right. Like, yeah, when my kids give me a compliment, I appreciate it, because I know it's coming from a wholesome, you know, and genuine place. And not to say that other people aren't coming from a genuine place, but, you know, it's, you know, you just can't let that happen, man. Like, I see so many people, they get hyped up, and they let that get to their head, and they think that they really think that they become that, and they forget, like, all the steps along the way that it took to get to where they are. And it's going to take more steps like that to get to the next level. So that's all, you know, I meant by that. You know, once you forget where you're coming from, you're on your way back. You know, I do think, I think that you have to be grateful for every step, every challenge, every person that helped you, every person that tried to hurt you. You know, like, you got to also, you know, sometimes you got to value your enemies more than your friends, you know, in some senses, because your enemies will make you better. You know, the enemies will be honest with you. Your enemies will try to, you know, pinch at, you know, whatever, wherever they think you have a chink in your armor, you know, they'll try to attack that, you know. And I think that, you know, I've come out of every battle, you know, well, you know, and respect it. And I exude that respect back too. So, you know, yeah, man, we learn a lot. We learn a lot when you're in the business of people, and when you're living in a world like we are today that moves extremely quickly, you know, really, really quickly. So.
Nah, indeed. You mentioned, your daughter and your kids, man. I know that's first,
Yeah, man.
You could just share just a letter, man, that they can just take in today and also remember 10, 15 years from now with your three children, man. What would that look like? What would you say, man?
In a letter, I would say, if I wrote a letter to them right now and I wanted them to live by it, I would say to them, don't take anything too seriously. Specifically, don't take things too seriously. You know, life is short. You know, it's shorter than you want it to be. It's longer than what you expect. And don't waste any moments. You know, don't beat yourself up. Don't be too hard on yourself. You know, you're doing great. You know, every day is a new opportunity. Be in the moment, be present. You know, because these are things that I wish I would have been better at, you know, and a lot of times, and I'm still getting better at it. You know, I'm 37. I think I'm gonna be here for at least till 107, you know, like, so I'm like, I'm still in like the first quarter, of my life, I have time to like reinvent, things. And I think I am reinventing, man. Like I don't talk the same as I used to. I don't move the same as I used to. I don't feel the same as I used to. Like I feel like a divine presence in my life. And I also feel like, I was built for war, and to fight the good fight, and to go out there and do some things, not for people necessarily, but for, to go out there and do things for what it'll do to somebody's belief and inspiration. I'm not looking for the trophies and the rings and the recognition. I've never been a big like recognition person. But I've had a lot of like side conversations with people that are extremely successful today, and they've said that to me, like, man, when you did this and when that moment happened here, when you posted that, like it inspired me. And I'm like, man, like how many other stories are out there like that? So that would be the letter, man. It's like, don't take things too seriously. It's all a joke, it's all funny. Like, I mean, God says, right, there's a quote, it says, you make plans and God laughs, right? So don't take it too seriously. Be present, be in the moment. Like I love meeting up with like old friends like from high school. I was in New York a couple months ago. I was talking to some friends from high school, and they were telling me stories. They're like, man, June, you remember when you did this in high school, you did that in high school? And I'm like, damn, I don't even like, I barely remember that, but that sounds like me. And it's funny, and I enjoy those moments and those people, like a lot. Like I was talking to another friend of mine from high school the other day. It's like, man, like how much crazy stuff we used to do when we were kids. And how far we've come, and how we've, how we've like maintained our morals and values, throughout the years, to become who we are today. And yeah, man, like, I love being a father. I love being an entrepreneur. I love being a person of influence. I love being a leader. I love everything that comes with it. It does get a little overwhelming sometimes. Like anything. And I think for me, the most overwhelming part that's extremely, hard on me is that when somebody tells me a problem that they have, I'm immediately, leaning into a solution. Whereas sometimes people just want to tell you their problem so you can listen. And it's hard for me to do that. Like, I'm kind of like, dude, if you got a problem, here's a solution. Let's work on it, So I think I take other people's problems personally, and even if it puts me in a bad position, and I've done that a lot of times, put myself in a bad position to put somebody else in a good position, and it's come back to bite me in the ass. And I don't think I've ever like resented doing it. I think that I've always like just looked up and kind of looked at God like, yo, you owe me one, bro. Like, I took that one on the chin. I took another one on the chin, like, and I'm cool with taking it, because I also feel like I was designed, to take a little bit of abuse, so that somebody else doesn't have to, and I'm cool.
Wow. That's deep. That's deep right there. Indeed. No, I love that, man. We're about to wrap up in a few. I'm really enjoying you and your time, bro. I know you traveled a lot of places. I'm big into traveling. I've only traveled in the States. I've never been overseas or out the country, man. What's the one particular place you'll recommend those that's listening to right now to travel to, not just for the leisure, but to learn the culture, the experience, and something they could just take from when they do leave from that place? And also, what are you working on currently and looking forward to in 2024?
Awesome. So I would recommend, first thing that comes to mind is Italy. I love Italy, man. Like the food is amazing in Italy. The people are amazing in Italy. I love the history. I love Italy. Italy is amazing. It's a dope place. I've been there a lot of times. Done a lot of business there too. Got great friends there. Love Italy. Another place I would recommend is Japan. I love Japan. Tokyo is amazing. But everywhere is beautiful, man. Like I've met so many great people everywhere, and I keep in contact with them. I got a lot of friends in South Africa. South Africa is beautiful. I had some of the most amazing food in South Africa. I no lie, legit almost got bit by a lion in Africa for real.
Oh my stars. Hey Drew, how that happened? I know we wrote, but how that happened? Just give us a little short. Like what you was about a lion you almost bit you have.
We went to this thing called the Lion Park. And We're out in like this field with like first we're out in this field with these cheetahs, and the cheetahs are like big animals. Like, in Africa, the animals are like th this might sound crazy to some people here in the US, but I was in Africa. I went to the lion park and I saw the lions, right? And the lions there, no exaggeration, were like the size of a Honda Civic. They were like big animals, big
Shoot.
animals. The baby lions were like the size of like, a mini horse or something, just big, they were big animals, and I remember a few months later I came down here and I took my kids to like one of the last like circus, Ringling Brothers Circus, the Baillian Brothers, and it had lions there too, and the lions were like, a quarter of the size of the ones in Africa, and I'm like, man, that's probably why they're going to stop the circus, because I don't think they were feeding them right, here in the US. Like, I remember there was a lot of like issues around the animals and stuff like that. That's why they stopped the circus. But yeah, man, I'm in Africa and we're taking pictures of the lions and they're like petting the lions, and I'm thinking like these things gotta be like sedated or something. And at one point, like I'm like touching the lion, and I don't know, like instinctually, I just felt like some aggression like coming from the animal. And I'm not even like a dog person. Like I'm kind of like, so I'm like touching it, and then like he kind of just like snapped, and at the same time, I had like moved my arm. And I remember my friend Monaco was there. He was like, whoa. He might have the video too. He was like, whoa. And I'm like, ha ha ha. And I kind of like walked away. And the next day I did a training talking about like the haters, right? And I'm like, man, like you imagine the haters? They're like, man, this kid June, like he grew up in Brooklyn, he got successful, he went to Africa, he got ate by a lion. I told you that thing was a scam, right? Yeah, so there's a lot of beautiful places that I would go to. I've been to a lot of really, I've met some amazing people in Kazakhstan. With the Kazakhstan is like people like Kazakhstan. I'm like, yeah, I didn't even know that existed. It was a friend that knew a friend that knew some friends, and we ended up going out there and having a great experience. I was like in the mountains, and they're great people, great culture. Went to Moscow, Russia. Russia was cool when I went there. It's a lot of places, but I would recommend going to Italy. Italy, Italian people are like super friendly. The food is amazing. You don't get fat. You can eat like all the food that you want, and you will not get fat eating all the food there. I love visiting the Colosseum in Rome. I love visiting the Statue of David in Florence, the gondolas in Venice. I love everything about Italy. Italy is a dope place. So I would recommend it. The fashion is cool. Like if you guys want to go with your lady, like, obviously Italian fashion is amazing. So I like it. Germany was cool too. Like it's just there's a lot of cool places, but I recommend Italy first. Yeah, so that's what I recommend. As far as new things, I started building a new business, new network marketing business with the new partners. I'm excited about doing some cool things with them. It's the first time that we're building something. I'm building something that's more like in the, formulation stage. So it's like you got concentration, formulation, momentum, and then you got stability. So this is sort of like in the beginning stages still with this company. I built the top, travel company in the world at one point. It was the number one travel company in the world. And I built the top, financial education company in the world at some point too. And in both of them, we created highs in those companies. And so I'm excited to do it again, in a new environment. I'm doing things with real estate. I'm doing things with, trading and finance, things like that. So I got a couple of things on my plate, but I think that just focusing on the main thing, is the main thing, and then everything else can kind of support that main thing. So yeah, we're just going to continue to build the brands, build more passive income, impact more people, create, more success stories, and continue to travel the world, man, and do some amazing podcasts with Rob. That's it.
Yes,
Next
absolutely.
podcast together in Greece, and we'll do it, from Acropolis, where you can see all like the old buildings and structures that were there, and we'll give everybody a really cool background to enjoy the interview. I'll be
That'd be
interviewing you.
big.
I'll interview you this time, right?
Oh man, that'd be big. That'd be big. That'd be exciting. Man, I've enjoyed your time. This would be my last and final question. I would like to end the show, but thank you for sharing. I think that when you share about adventure and experience, because there's so many people who haven't left the block before, right? And never even traveled with the States. And that's people that's traveled through the States, but don't want to go to these other countries or so that nature because of what they see on the news. But I think that you should always step out the comfort zone or step away from what you're used to. So I think if you're sharing just those different countries and experiences and stuff, and I'm glad that the lion didn't bite you as well. That was God protecting you, brother. So you know what I mean? It was God protecting you. All right. So when it's all said and done, Jim, meaning that when you retire officially, or just when you're long gone years from now or so, what do you mostly want to be remembered for and why? And I want you to say this if you can translate in English and Spanish as well.
Spanish. I don't think I'm ever gonna retire. I don't think, not because I don't want to, but because I don't believe that's a part of my story. If that, if I can express it right. I don't feel that retirement is a part of my story. I think that my purpose is going to run parallel to my lifespan, and I'm cool with that, and I'm actually excited with that. I think that for a short period of my life, I was chasing this light at the end of the tunnel where I can just like work, 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 get this done, and then just ride off on a white horse with my family and go do things. But I don't think that's part of my story. I think that maybe in another life when I come back, in another another body. whatever, right? Like maybe that'll be there, but not in this life. Like this life for me was meant to, work and impact and be purposeful. As far as what I want to be remembered for, I want to be remembered for, or I not I want to be, but I hopefully I'm remembered for, hopefully I'm remembered for just being a great example of what a father should be. Like a father, and I want to be remembered for being a good father and a very high integrity person. Like those two main things. That's it. Like everything else, sort of like work its way out. But those are the two main things. I think if I can inspire other people to, be more present in their family's lives, then that's, a huge accomplishment beyond my own physical, capability. And if I can inspire people to just be a little bit more, real with themselves, and real about what they want to do and where they want to go and, the things that they want to accomplish in their lives, like just being able to look themselves in the eye in the mirror, then I've done my job. So si lo voy a decir en español, que yo no hablo mucho en español ahora porque tengo muchos amigos que no hablan español, right? I would say que en la vida mía yo nunca me voy a retirar porque yo no creo que eso parte de mi historia. Pero si puedo decir que me van a, si me pueden recordar, I guess, I forget the word. I'm like, I speak English every day, right? So I'm like, si me recuerdan por algo, yo quisiera que me recuerden pues siendo un padre, bueno, para poder darle inspiración a otra gente en el mundo para que ellos puedan hacer lo mismo. Y también quisiera que la gente me recuerden por pues siendo una persona sana, que siempre trabaja duro y que también, le da inspiración a otra gente, a las otras gente del mundo para que sean así también, para que la gente sean honesto y que sean, trabajadores duros para su familia y que no le hagan daños a nadie. So that's my spiel, and that's what I'm sticking to. Rel, I appreciate you so much. This has been an absolute pleasure. And I God bless you, man. I hope you continue to do what you're doing and explode and take it all over the world. Do a podcast from Italy, telling people, listen, June told me to come here and we're here now. And do it over a bowl of pasta,
No, indeed. Hey, June, it's been an honor, good brother. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for your brotherhood, good brother. I'm glad that we got a chance to sit down. This is one for the books, man. This is something to look back from 10, 15 years from now and smile on to see that, some people would say, let's do it. And things get pushed and pushed and pushed. And then, it doesn't happen. But when you get down, you sit down and you get it done together, that's what means a lot. So Where can the people find you and continue to support your journey, man? And then we'll get out of here.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram. It's this is June dot underscore. So at this is June dot underscore. And that's probably the best place to find me. You can find me on Instagram, the easiest. You know, you'll find other links to me anywhere else. And yeah, you know, that's it. I'm excited to you know, continue this journey, man, and to make history and come back here a little wiser, a little better looking, and a little richer, all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey guys, if you're listening to this right now, please follow my guy, my friend June, support his journey. Stay tuned to what he's working on right now. This gentleman, when he works. So he's locked in completely, along with being that family man too as well. Guys, if you haven't already, please subscribe to the show. Leave us a review, you know, send June a message. Let him know what you really was, what part in this podcast, you know, that you were truly inspired, that stuck out to you. And the people that surround you as well. So that's us. That's June Acosta, Mr. June. I'm Rel Sumter. And this is Inspire Before We Expire. And we're out.
Let's go.